You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. All right, everybody, wherever you are, let's stand. Let's open up in prayer to the Most High God. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus for tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that you got us to this point. We thank you, Lord God, Father, that you make all things new. And we thank you for the opportunity for a new experience in you. We thank you for a new opportunity, Lord God, to learn about ourselves, Lord God, Father, for you are our creator. And if it's if it's anyone that understands us and knows us, it's the one that made us. So we thank you, Lord God, that we have an opportunity to come to the one that created us and to allow for things to make sense. We thank you, Lord God. Father, sometimes we just don't understand. Sometimes we just don't know. So we have the opportunity to come to the one that does know and the one that does understand. And you said, in all thy getting, get understanding, Lord God. So we have come tonight, Lord God, to get understanding. And we have gathered tonight, Lord God. Father, you said, don't forsake the local assembly. And we have gathered together, Lord God, to come together to hear your word, Lord God, to hear your direction, Lord God, to hear your promises, Lord God, and for us to walk them out so those things can be made true in this earth. We thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. While we are in preparation for this word, I just want to give a big shout out to one of my favorite people in the world, Valerie McCoy. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. We love you so much. You are so embedded in this ministry and in our hearts, and we want you to know it. And this is her day, her world today. We're just living in it. Amen. I won't say her age, but she makes it look okay. So she did it. Okay. She did it. And she makes it look. She's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. She said there's a big six in front of that too. And she makes it look good. Amen. So happy birthday. And I pray that you felt all the love today, and I pray that you continually feel it until you go to bed and you just soak in it in the love. Your church loves you so much. We are going to get into the word for today, and what I'm going to title this. Sometimes titles. I mean, you've done it as long as me. Titles just aren't that important because they kind of run into each other after 16 years. But I guess I'm going to title this Connecting to Your Purpose. Connecting to Your Purpose. Connecting to Your Purpose. Connecting to Your Purpose. I want you to understand that when you're in the process of connecting to your purpose, there's going to be times in your life, and I want us to understand, there's going to be times in your life that you are going to not know your purpose. There's going to be times that you lose your purpose, and there's going to be a time that you're in the process of finding your purpose. So I want you to understand, number one, that's natural and it's normal. Amen. So with that, there's times you won't know your purpose, and then there's times you're going to lose it. There's times you're going to be searching to find what your purpose is. Like, Lord, what is my purpose? And then I want you to know something. Sometimes we go way too deep when it comes to purpose because we think that the purpose is supposed to be like neon lights that flashes before us. Sometimes we go way too spiritual. And we're like, Lord, I don't know my purpose, so I don't know what to be. And number one, the best thing to do is to find out how to be the best you that you can be with God. Does that make sense? To find out how to be the best you can be with God. Because if you are with God, he's going to make sure that he shows you how to be the best you that you can be. And then with that, that's how you discover your purpose. Now, sometimes we lose our purpose because we start to look for a different direction. We begin to look for something else. And I want you to understand something, and I want to be able to speak this in language that we all understand. Sometimes your purpose isn't exciting. Sometimes operating in your purpose is not exciting, it's not fun, and it's the word I use, it's not sexy all the time. Sometimes being you isn't sexy. Sometimes being you and being, sometimes, can I just say it the way I want to say it? Sometimes you're being used by God and you feel like you're doing nothing. Sometimes God is using you and you don't. Can I be real honest? I'm going to have to be. Sometimes when you're really being used by God, you don't even feel it. Because to you, you're just doing what's natural. And sometimes the natural thing isn't the sexy thing. It's not the exciting thing. And sometimes being you is ministering to somebody who's watching you that you don't even know they're watching you. And there, sometimes God will connect you with somebody and you are the answer to their prayer and you don't even know that they have prayed for you because you don't even think you're qualified to be prayed for. If that makes sense. Sometimes you don't even think you're big enough, worthy enough, valuable enough in the kingdom for somebody to pray to be, for you to be the one to be chosen by God to be used. And I need you to understand you were created to make a difference. You were created to make a difference, and sometimes you're making a difference. Hear me. I want you to know, you can keep writing, but I want you to know something. Sometimes you're making a big difference, but you're not making a big splash. And what our flesh is looking for is the splash. And because we are walking on water, but we don't go to splash, we don't think we've made a big impact. And as a pastor tonight, I want to teach you, stop looking for the splash. Just look for Jesus in the water. Because when the Bible talked about when it was cloudy and dark and Peter looked up and they thought, if you read the scripture, it says they thought that it was some ghosts out there on the water. And the funny thing is, the disciples should have been the toughest ones. But they were so fearful. And let's go back to the boat. Oh, Jesus, wake up, Jesus, we're going to drown. See, so just because you know the word doesn't mean you're going to live out the word. You'll get that later. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Because the disciples was with the word. But they didn't act out the word. And so many people can recite the word, but they can't live out the word. So many people can read and tell you where the scripture is, but they can't tell you how to live it out. That's the scripture having a form of godliness, but denying the power. There is a power that goes within the word. And when Jesus is really in us, there's a power that dwells from within us. And sometimes you're powerful, but you don't feel powerful. Are you getting this tonight? And I want you, this is what I want you to understand. Stop trying to swim in the deep and just swim. Just swim. Pastor, I don't feel like I'm making a difference. You don't have, who said, where, show me in a scripture where you got to feel it. This is what I need to understand. Sometimes you wake up, you do your thing, you go to bed, and you're like, I ain't really doing anything today. But how many people saw you live out your day differently than you used to live out your day? That's ministry. How many people know how you used to be and see a difference and see you are being consistent with the new? How many times have you said, I'm going to change, and you didn't? But this time they see a change because you're being repetitive, which is showing the difference between saying I'm sorry and repenting. When you say, I'm sorry, that means forgive me so we can move on. When you say, I'm sorry, that's another word for can we end this argument so we can eat dinner? Or can we just watch the movie in peace? Sorry, in other words, let me go deeper. I'm sorry. In other words, will you shut up? But I repent means I have no intention to ever do this again. That's the difference between repent and sorry. Sorry, I want it over. Repent means I never want to come back to this again. I don't want to do what I did to get us to this point. That's repent. So when you repent unto God, you're telling God, I acknowledge that I'm here. I acknowledge that I did this. I acknowledge that my mind wasn't right. I acknowledge that my attitude wasn't right. I acknowledge that my behavior wasn't right. I acknowledge, I understand why I'm here, but I have no intention of ever being here again. So Lord, I repent so that now my moves can be in this direction, so I'll never get back to this area. Are we making sense tonight? But changing, can I tell you, changing doesn't look sexy. Changing isn't fun all the time. In other words, changing really is dramatic in the mind. Can I be real? To really make a difference isn't fun. It's work. It's painful. You got to battle your own emotions, your flesh, your mind. Most of the time you're tired battling yourself versus somebody else. And when you really get over yourself, other people don't even bother you anymore because you've battled the biggest one, yourself. And when we've mastered fighting ourselves and winning us, anybody else's opinion, it don't even matter. Once we get to this and we conquer this and we can finally beat up our flesh, whatever somebody else say, whatever. And then if you meet that plus you finally get over 40, you really don't care what people think of you then. You understand? So I want you to understand connecting to your purpose, connecting. In other words, connecting means I have to now, I got to take what I have and what God has given me and give what I have to what God has given me. And that's how I connect to my purpose. Connecting means I have to bring what God gave me to God. Not God has to bring what he gave to me. Connecting to the purpose or connecting the dots, that there is a dot. I have to now take my dot and bring it to that dot. Connecting to my purpose, I have to find where my purpose is. My purpose is with God. So I have to now get with him, and then I'll get with my purpose. And then I'll understand not every day will be roses and, as I say, Skittles and rainbows. Not every day will we discover something profound. Not every day will be like Sunday, that just an outbreak breaks out. Then you get all these breakthroughs. Not every day is that dramatic or emotional. You understand what I'm saying? Just like not every Sunday is like that. So we can't program or anticipate when God's going to move. Not every day is a huge move of God. Not every day do we get a great revelation. Some days you put a couple days together and you're like, what happened between Monday and Wednesday? I don't know. But you don't know how you were the answer to somebody's prayer by your behavior, by your consistency, by your love. Love covers a multitude of sin. How many people expected you not to forgive them? How many people expected you not to talk to them? How many people expected you not to have a hi to them because they know what they did to you? But you were being the child of God and sharing and showing love when they didn't deserve it. That's being a child of God, because you know when God showed you love when you didn't deserve it. That keeps us humble. That keeps us grounded. Amen. Saying, oh, they don't deserve it. That's why I'm going to do it to them, because I don't deserve what God has given to me. I don't deserve God forgiving me as many times as he's done. Amen. And that's why I don't have the right to not forgive somebody. Because when I stop forgiving them, then God will stop forgiving me. And I cannot go without him forgiving me. You get what I'm saying? That's why his grace is sufficient for us. And I need my grace because I know what's in my bloodline. Amen. So connecting to the purpose, sometimes you're going to lose it. Sometimes you're going to go through seasons of finding out what it is. What is my purpose now? Because what my purpose is now doesn't mean that will always be my purpose. Seasons will change. Purposes will change. Sometimes there's a purpose connecting to my purpose, and my purpose is working on this or sowing into them. But then seasons change. And so when God says move on, when you decide you don't want to move like God wants you to move, I have to move. Does that make sense? Yes. Amen. Connecting to the purpose. There's somebody in this ministry that the church adores, my wife adores. I'm not going to say their name. It starts with a J and ends with S-E. And with that, this individual I know I have prayed for over a decade. And it's one thing when you pray and you don't know when God's going to answer the prayer. Talk about praying for over 10 years. Literally, I prayed. This was really 16 years in the making of me meeting this person that I prayed for, that God said he'd send to me, but it took him 15 years to do it. But who said that God was the one that was slowing it up? No, it wasn't. It was me. See, the J plus Essie is saying it's her. So, see, we're both like David. It's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. So she says she's prolonging it. I'm saying I'm prolonging it because I had to get ready to be the best me I could be for her. You understand what I'm saying? There are lessons that I had to learn, things I had to go through, mistakes I had to make in the kingdom. So when I met this person, I'd be ready and wouldn't make those mistakes because I was going to get one chance to meet this one. And God was like, you can't blow it. And you never know what you're going through up and down for your purpose. Amen. And then what I didn't know was I thought, whoa, if I just get J plus Essie, also known as Jessie, I'm not saying her name, just in case if that's who you think I'm talking about. But if I thought, if God would give me somebody like that, because I used to pray back in the day, I used to pray well before, a decade ago, well before I was married to the best wife in the world, I used to pray because at that time she was just the best member I ever had. And I was like, Lord, if I can get like 50 more of hers, I'm like, the church would be amazing. Who knew I'd marry her one day? I just wanted to duplicate her because I'm like, she's the best member ever, the best dedicated and all of this stuff. So not only did God honor that and then let me marry her, but then he brought me a Jessie. But then I thought, oh, my God, I got Jessie. Who knew God was going to give me double for my trouble and Jessie was going to be married to a person R plus on, you know, and give me the most amazing married couple I ever met in my life that we adore them. We love, but and we just was in sync from the first day that we met. But that was 15, 16 years in the making of things that they went through, places they went, things up and down for them, places that they went, places they decided they didn't want to go to anymore. All of these discussions going on for a merger of purpose. Connecting to your purpose. And so sometimes we have to go through things, some uncomfortable, some painful, some hurtful, some embarrassing, to get to a level of maturity to say, Lord, I want to be where you want me to be. Hallelujah. So that we can get to our purpose. Amen. And so I want you to understand. See, but we're looking for splash, and there was no splash when I met this couple. It was just Jesus in the water. And there were the Weehagens. No big splash, nothing sexy. Amen. It took a whole year for both of them saying, we love this church, but we're never doing nothing in it. we love it, but we're not working in it. Ron said, I got enough work. I don't need anything else. Somehow, through Christ, the more they said, Lord, use me, the more he said, okay. Now, a year later, they're both working in the ministry, and now I have children who I have testimonies of parents telling me that their child won't go anywhere without their, what do you call the thing? Tablet. And one Sunday, they were bringing their child to church in the parking lot. I was like, okay, well, don't forget your tablet. And they told their mom, I'm leaving my tablet in the car because I learn at church with Jesse. And it blew her mother away because her child never wanted to go anywhere without the tablet, but she didn't want the tablet. She wanted Jessie. And said, I'm learning there. I didn't need a tool just to get me by the time. She said, I'm learning. And she was learning about Jesus. So, but guess what? That's not sexy because nobody knew. There were no splashes. And this is what I want to understand. When we connect to our purpose, and then next, you know, and Jessie's doing this as she volunteered, because we asked, will anybody assist with the children? And yet, because obedience is better than sacrifice, and she said, I'll be obedient and I will jump in and help. And now she's changing the lives of children, that as they grow, the Bible says, train them up in the way they should go. But there's no splash about that. There's lives changing without the splash, connecting to your purpose. Her husband is saying months ago, listen, Pastor, I just play sheet music. I always said I play sheet music. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, so that's what I do. I don't know what else to do. But yet now on Sundays, we're flowing in the spirit. We're just flowing. And he's just playing in the spirit. Don't say what God won't do if you connect to your purpose. And this is why I always say, don't worry about what you've done. What you've done has nothing to do with what you'll do now if you connect to your purpose. And this is why I always say, don't keep comparing what you did, because that's disrespectful to everything what you're doing now. Hallelujah. Sometimes you're going to lose your purpose, and we got to fight for it sometimes. Find it. But the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. But you got to seek. But you can't seek what you want. We have to seek what he wants for us. So many times we say, we don't say this, but what we really say is, I translate, Lord, make me happy. That's really what we say, whatever prayer we pray. I mean, really? You know me, I'm always trying to just get to the root. And our prayer sometimes is all super spiritual, and we felt like, oh, I shook heaven with that prayer. Really, all you said is, Lord, make me happy. But when is the last time we flipped the script and said, Lord, I want to make you happy? When's the last time I said, before I go to bed tonight, can you confirm with me that I made you happy? And something that I did, even if there was no splash. If we could ever operate and do things without looking for the splash, we'd find out that we are well more accomplished than we think we are. Because Jesus isn't writing down a scoreboard of splashes. He's checking the box of lives that we've changed without a splash. Hallelujah. My vow that I love and adore, there was somebody in this church, her name is Peggy. She's never seen anybody like Val. And Val touched her heart with Val's transparency of her. And Peggy fell in love with her. Val never knew that. That she looked up to Val and her strength. Val didn't see herself as strong. She saw herself as weakened in that time. Peggy didn't see weakness. She saw strength because Val was here as a living testimony without a splash. Of course you didn't know. That's the job of the pastor, to keep all this stuff to myself. But I want y'all to see, this is amazing. So many times we're doing things, but we don't know. Yeah. Jesse didn't know. But the story about the child and not wanting to do the tablet because there was no splash. So many times we think we're not being used by God because we don't see or feel or hear the splash. But our consistency is the splash. Our obedience is the splash. Us doing something we don't want to do is the splash. My daughter is so blessed. And I couldn't be happier for her. All the time she don't feel blessed. But she is. Why? Because she's just, I should put obedient on her license plate in the car. Sometimes she's obedient even with an attitude. I know my daughter. You know, sometimes she obedient with attitude. And then she go and get herself together and she come right back. But that's consistency. You get what I'm saying? We're not always obedient with a smile. That's real. But with our consistency, we learn how to work on that frown. You're getting what I'm saying. Are we understanding this? Connecting to your purpose. Your purpose is changing lives. When people see what you're doing, they say, oh my God, I could do that too. Well, if he was able to do that, if Ron owns his own business, works 7 days a week, never get a day off, and still going to come here on a Saturday now, not only for 1 hour, but for 3 hours for praise team rehearsal. Then go home and rehearse, rehearse while he's at work. Come here extra hour early for Bible study. Right after that, try to come here and fine tune right before. If he didn't even think he'd do that 6 months ago. That's connecting to your purpose. When this is what that I learned 15 years ago that Pastor Creflo Dollar said, and I live it. I know it's true. He says, God will give you the unction to function. He will give you the unction to function. You don't have it in you to be able to do it. And God will give you the ability, and you'll say, I don't even know how I was able to do that. Where did I get the energy to do that? You got it from the Holy Spirit. Coming off of my first vaccine shot, Sunday I was dizzy and woozy and laying up against the wall. But God got me through it. Was able to have me speak his word. Was able to have an amazing altar call. When I got home, I had nothing left. But while I was here, I had everything. He will give you the unction to function if you say, Lord, let me make you happy. Let me give up what I want to do. Let me give up my free time and give my time unto you. Amen. I promise you, the more you sacrifice, the happier you'll be. I know it doesn't make sense, and neither does God. It doesn't make sense. God doesn't make sense. Half the things God does doesn't make sense. His ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. So stay low. You'll get that later. His ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. So stay low. Quit trying to go higher. You're going to get a nosebleed. Quit trying to get that high. You're not built for that height. Stay low. Stay in your lane. Just be you. Be the best you. Don't try to be anybody else. Amen? I used to say back in the day when I was a young whippersnapper in the game as a pastor, I used to say I'm an originator, not a duplicator. You don't like what I'm saying? See you later. Don't be a hater. See, I still got it. I still got it. I still got it. Amen. I can bring it out anytime I want. In this thing is what I'm saying is be you. I can only be me. This is who I am as a pastor. You don't like my jokes? Pray about it because something wrong with you. But you get what I'm saying. You got to like yourself. You got to like how God made you. Quit looking for somebody else to laugh at your joke. You laugh at yours first. Amen. Quit looking at somebody else to give you an applause. Clap for yourself. You know, connect to your purpose. Amen. God didn't make me some deep, serious pastor. I can be serious when I need to be. I can go deep when I want. But that's not who I am. I like to have a little fun. Find your purpose. Connect to your purpose. Now, with this thing, we think once we accomplish something that we are done. How many times have we think we've accomplished something and we think, okay, roll up the sleeves, done, wrong. That's why sometimes we get so disappointed because we think now is my time to rest. First of all, who lied to us? Our flesh. Can I really be honest with you? Who said when it's dinner time is rest time? We did. Because we said, this is my time. I'll let that simmer. This is my time. This is my uninterrupted time. Who told you that? Your flesh, and you agree with it. Told you the flesh always lying. And that's why you get mad when God has somebody calling you and needs something from you during your time. Who said it was your time? You and your flesh. God didn't. So now you want to be mad at God. Come on, this is my time. First of all, who told you it was your time? Let me tell you, you just microwaved it, just put it on the plate, just got to the table, and then you got, now you got attitude. Well, you wouldn't have had attitude if you were prepared to give your all to God anytime. Why do you think he gave you that microwave? To warm it up later. To reheat it. Why do you think he gave you the microwave? I'm just saying. Hey, man. Otherwise, you just have an oven. Come on now. However, once we have accomplished that goal, it is then time to continue to fulfill our purpose because it's not over. We have to know it's not over. You got to tell yourself it's not over. Keep telling yourself that. Listen, this is what keeps me in the game. I tell myself it's not over. I tell myself when I'm sitting down, your phone can ring at any time. Because the Bible says be ready in season and out. So I have to tell myself be ready. I often tell myself, don't get too relaxed that you can't be used by God. connecting to your purpose. Everybody's purpose isn't to be up here with a microphone. Lord knows, number one, that was not even my desire. Those that have been around me long enough know I never wanted to be a pastor ever, never. It was never something I wanted to do. Never wanted it, ran from it for 10 years. This was not my cup of tea. I would much prefer to sit there like you with my legs crossed and say, teach me happy. Much easier for me to sit there with my leg crossed and say everything that I agree with and entertain me. I would prefer that. Amen? Okay. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, my favorite one. I'm not going to read the whole thing, I promise you. But go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. While you're turning to that, Breakthrough, I want you to know something. God told us at the beginning of this year, 2021, that this was going to be our best and biggest year. I want to tell you something. As the pastor and the shepherd of this church, there's never been a thing God told me about our ministry that did not come true. Amen. Never. When God tells me something, I just put it in the bank and understand it is there for a withdrawal later. But you have to live like it's your best and biggest year. You have to think like this is going to be my best. You have to remember, this is also our year of maturity, which means all the immature things and thoughts and behaviors that we had, it's our job to get rid of those. God's not going to get rid of them for us. It is our job to get rid of those things so that we can operate in the maturity. Because in all that getting, we have to get the understanding so that we can be the best us. Are you there? Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, to everything there is a what? So stop right there. If to everything, if this is true, which it is, because at Breakthrough, we believe that if it's in the Bible, we believe it. We believe at Breakthrough Assembly. If it's here, we believe it. Amen. We don't believe in Breakthrough that there's a couple things that doesn't pertain to us. We believe that if it's in here, then that's how we roll. Amen. So with that, to everything there is a season. Now you got to understand something. If you know anything about seasons, seasons don't stay the same. Amen. Let me take you to the secular. Anybody, what's your favorite television show? Just throw something at me. I don't want to hear my daughter because I don't want to hear Grey's Anatomy. Okay. Jesse, pray for her. Okay. It's all about Grey's Anatomy for her. But with that, give me something else. Throw something at me. What's your favorite show? You said, well, give me one. Okay, I have no idea who she is, but Tasha K. Okay, throw something else at me. This is us. Okay, amen. That was good. All right. So, anybody else watch anything, or with this church don't watch TV? What'd you say? 911. Okay, amen. Okay, it took me a while to get through all the blood and the gory stuff that when people nails go through people and all of that stuff. But okay, now I'm hooked. They got me on it. The point is, you can identify the show by what season it's in. You can identify the show by what season it's in, meaning you can look at it and tell if that's season 1 or season 3. You can tell by the progression of the show what season it's in. You can look for it and say, oh, that's the beginning stages. They didn't have the good outfits back then. You know, they didn't have the face makeovers. You know, you could tell they weren't getting a good check because their clothing wasn't that good. You know what I mean. And now you could tell they're in season 3 because now all of a sudden, you know, they got the designer clothes. They're all driving the good cars. You can tell the progression of the season and where they are, the development even of the character. That's how it is with us. Seasons change. We're not supposed to stay on season 1. That's the beginning stage. Of course, in season 1, you don't know you look busted and disgusted until season 3, and you look at yourself and say, wow, that's how I looked. You know, have you ever thought you looked cute until years later you saw that picture and said, who let me out of the house? Who let me wear that outfit? Who told me? Who agreed with me that that outfit was world ready to be seen by the world? But when that's the best you have, seasons change. And I want us to understand that. So it says to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to every purpose, which means there is a limit to this purpose. Yeah, you were purposed to do that, but it doesn't mean that you are going to stay doing that. It doesn't mean that just because you're doing it now, you're always going to be here. It doesn't mean, but it does mean while you're there, do it as God told us, everything we do, do it in excellence. Do it to the best of your ability. So when that purpose has been fulfilled, God will move you on to your next purpose. Are you getting this? And then if you go with me in verse number 14, it says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be for what? Forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. When God does it, there I go clapping again, Jesse, pray for me. I'm uncontrollable. I never know why I'm doing it. But when God does it, man can't touch it. Hear me, Breakthrough. When God does it for you, there's nothing God can do about it. And let me take it up a notch. When God does it for you, sometimes you can't even get in the way of your own self when it's affecting the kingdom. When he needs, because he purposed you, he created you. He won't let your attitude, he going to drag you with an attitude. You still got to do it. How many times have you like, but you couldn't stay home? Complained a whole car ride to the church. Said, I don't want nobody to touch me. I don't want nobody to hug me. Pastor better not say give anybody a high five because I'm not doing it. I'm going in the bathroom so nobody can touch me. Amen. But somehow God broke you. Amen. Because of the purpose in your life. And when your purpose is, sometimes your purpose will be stronger than your opinion, even of yourself. And sometimes you'll never think you're good enough. And God doesn't care if you think you're good enough, as long as you submit yourself unto him. Hallelujah. As long as you are weak, but you faint not. We think, as I close, we think fainting literally means passing out. Fainting means stop walking in what you were called to do. It doesn't mean we're literally collapsing, but it does mean to stop walking and moving in what God purposed you to do. Be weak, but faint not. Don't stop going towards your purpose. What we do is we get scared, we get irritable, we get angry, we get emotional, we get the enemy in our flesh to lie to us and say, I don't like that person, I don't like the way they looked at me in that church. Now it's not my church, it's that church. Oh, you know I'm telling the truth. First, you were telling everybody you love that church, now it's that church. I don't like the way they looked at me. I don't like what Pastor said. I think he was talking about me. I am offended. I'm not going back there. I don't have to take that. You go home, you talk about the pastor like a dog, you go eat dinner, and then the Holy Spirit tell you to repent and make sure you're the first one there on Wednesday. Connecting to your purpose. I want you to know you won't always agree with your purpose. You won't always like your purpose. You won't always like what God has you doing. You won't always like who he's connecting you to and who he's connecting you with. You won't always like who he's pulling you or detaching yourself from. Because at least with them, I have history. Now you're trying to make me go over there and be friends with them. I don't even want to go talk to them. And God said, do it anyway and leave them and go talk to them. I don't even like the way they look at me. Good. Go over there and look back at them. We're not even compatible. Good. Go over there with them and sit next to them. I hear nothing but what God tells me. God will have you to sit next to somebody that you said don't smell good to break you down, not them. He'll make sure somebody gives you what you think is the cold shoulder, and then God will say, I want you to connect with them to break you down, not them. Connecting to your purpose. See, sometimes what we don't want to do is what's best for us. And only God knows what's best for us. We only know what's good to us. Not what's best for us. We know by the flesh what feels good to us. But what feels good to us isn't always what's best for us. Amen. Are you getting this today? Real quick, let's go to 1 Corinthians. I don't know where I want to go with 1 Corinthians, so we may not go there. Maybe we will. Nothing worse than when you're a pastor and you can't read your own writing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse number 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Stop right there. We know in part. We prophesy in part. We know in part. I mean, sometimes you think you know. Oh, I know what's going on. You only know that little thing. Stop the bus. Oh, I know what's going on. Yes, God has given you some illumination on that and that alone. Pump your brakes. We know in part. We don't know the next part. He has given you all the info on this, and then the next thing, you ever thought you knew everything until the next season, and then you feel like you know nothing. That's because we know in part. I thought I knew that person. You did. You knew them for that day, but you didn't know they were going to be a different person the next day. We know in part. It says we know in part, and we prophesy in part. This is why I tell people all the time. In this ministry, God uses the fivefold ministry. And when he uses me in prophecy, he uses me in prophecy. But I'm a puppet on the string. I prophesy in part. I'm only telling you what God told me to tell you on that day at that time. Don't come to me later an hour to my pastor. What did you say? Because I don't know. Amen. This is why we got to record. What are you going to ask me for? I don't know. Well, what else is he saying? Nothing. He was using me to talk to you on that day at that time. That's why I tell people all the time. Don't you miss church and then want to call me later and tell my pastor, can we talk? No. God was using me at that moment. I got nothing for you. I'm like you. I'm just as human as you at that moment. There is no anointing flowing through this temple. The anointing was at Sunday at 11 a.m. when he gave me the word for that time and that time frame. We know in part, we prophesy. I was prophesying according to what he was giving me. He was telling me everything. Now he's telling me nothing. We have to know that. Are we getting that? If God was talking to me all the time and telling me everything, I'd already be a millionaire. Are we getting this? So if he was always telling me everything and showing me everything and prophesying, I would have never made a mistake in my life. We know in part. When I'm counseling, I pray, Lord, reveal unto me when I'm counseling. And through the counselship, he's communicating with me during that time through that allotted time of the counsel. But when counsel is over with, I got nothing for you. Are you getting this? So I want you to know God will use you. At times he's flowing. At times Ron's gift. At times he's flowing. He just give you the idea. You don't know how because he's flowing. He's giving you that anointing to function at that time. At that time, with Jesse's creative mind going, she's flowing at that time. When God is waking you up, Val, and sending people for you to pray, and you're feeling it and running through your apartment, shouting, it's at that time. But other times, you're going to be mad, frustrated, angry, your stomach growling. You know in part, you prophesy in part. There won't always be bells and whistles and sunshine and neon lights going. That we have to understand. That's why we can't forsake the local assembly so we can all get together as human beings, knowing in part, prophesying in part, in different times and different seasons. Because when I got nothing, God's giving it to you. And when you got nothing, God's giving it to them. And when you're weak, somebody else is full. And when you need a hug so much, God's already prepared somebody for you. And they say, just come here. That's connecting to your purpose. So it says, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, that's immaturity versus maturity. We have to decide what childish thing we have to put away, even if that's our favorite toy. We used to be able to get at people or start stuff or know how to push people's buttons. It's a childish thing. Got to put it away. Even if you know it's effective, I got to put it away. If I know it's not godly, I got to put it away. If I know it doesn't please God, I got to put it away. Are we understanding this? And then it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I need you to know something. God has purposed you. Don't lose focus. Don't lose your focus. He's purposed you for His reasoning. For His reasoning. And when we submit ourselves to us, He decides what and when He wants to unveil unto us. He decides what and when. He decides who He wants to surround us with. But when we decide, Lord, these are the people I chose, now come around me. No, that's not how it works. We have to decide, Lord, I give you everything. I give up everything for everything you want from me. That's connecting to our purpose. Your purpose is different than hers. Her purpose is different than his. Everybody's purpose, but we're all connected. One body, many members, being great. Everybody being great in your own way. Being anointed in your own way, being gifted in your own way, with nobody competing with gifts, nobody jealous of that gift, welcoming your gift, encouraging your gift, supporting your gift. One of the greatest honors I have is today is Val's birthday, and she came here on her birthday for all 62 of those glorious years in the house of God. Amen. She's not in the club tonight dropping it like it's hot. She's in the church, keeping it warm. Amen. Amen. With memories of her dropping it. But there's no more dropping. Amen. Hey, listen, drop it for the gospel, and that's it. Amen. So I want you to know, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we shall not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. We know what it did for us, and we're connecting to our purpose now. Not being ashamed, being different, having different mindsets. That's part of our gift. It's part of our creativity. We see it differently, and it's okay to be different. Actually, it's encouraged to be different. Who wants to be around the same people all the time? That's boring. Doing everything the same way. That's a ritual. Amen. That's not Christendom. So, Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I pray that it fell on good ground. And I pray, Lord God, Father, not only did it fall on good ground, but, Lord God, it hit them where they needed it to be received so they can take it with the vision and run with it. I thank you for what you're doing, Lord God. I thank you for your mighty move that you're doing. I thank you, Lord God, how you're uplifting us. You're challenging us. You're correcting us. You're stretching us. You're enlarging us all at the same time. And I thank you that you love us. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your love and your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord God, for our downfalls, because it showed us we got to get up and what we can look forward to. I thank you for the things that didn't work out, because it made the things that did work out feel even better. I thank you for the assignments that failed, because the successes were sweeter. I thank you for the relationships that we were with that didn't work out, because it made us appreciate the good relationships that you have for us. And Father, as a pastor, I thank you for the churches that we went to and it just didn't work. But thank you that you brought us to a place that it does. because what is for me is for me. And I thank you with no discrimination, no anger, no judgment, just appreciation for who you are and how much you love us. So we thank you. Let us leave here better than we came. Let us be better than how we arrived. And let us do better than what we knew we could do before we received this word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 That's right. And I will see everybody Sunday at 11 a.m. Pray for somebody. Support somebody. You may be the only Jesus that they see. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.